Friends, turn your ears to wisdom and apply your hearts to understanding. Call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Let's join in singing our first hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Please be seated. Welcome. Thanks for joining us in person here at Scots Church this morning and online via YouTube streaming. A special good morning to Jim Nusky, who I believe is watching us out there on the internet, and many others all around Melbourne and Australia and even beyond. Please keep your face mask in place this morning and note with apologies there'll be no tea coffee served today, as we do our best to stay a little bit apart for the sake of COVID health and safety. Please note also that our working bee that was scheduled next week is being deferred for the same reason. We're aware of a growing number of Scots families and friends who are being affected one way or another by COVID, and if you find yourself in that situation and need support over these coming weeks, please don't hesitate to make contact and we'll do what we can. you are new to Scots, please do introduce yourself on the card in the seat, fill it out and leave it on the foyer desk, or scan the QR code with your phone and drop us your contact details online. We would love to make you welcome and keep you in touch with happenings at Scots, especially if in this time of year you're looking for a church family to be part of. Now, I'm sure if you have been part of Scots for a while, you'll be aware that we've got a special guest with us again today, and that's my predecessor here, Douglas Robertson, who's back from Scotland with Alison to visit the family. I've asked Douglas if he might like to share a few words of greeting. I think the family's seen a little bit of Melbourne sunshine in the last little while.
Thank you, Phil. Yes, this is not embarrassment at standing in front of you, but clearly, 2 years in Scotland, I'd forgotten how powerful the Melbourne sun could be. First of all, I want to say a sincere thank you to Phil for the invitation to say a few words this morning. It's a very generous thing for a minister of a parish to do, to allow his predecessor to step up to the microphone. It's also a very risky thing. As he said beforehand, do I have a list of all the complaints and problems that I want to sort and solve? I really don't. Actually, what I'm gathering is a list of things that I want to take back with me to my parish in Inverness. So thank you for the invitation, Phil, and it's a great pleasure to stand here. I do want to apologize for the way I'm dressed. I wanted to travel light, and although we did discuss the possibility of bringing a suit just in case anything required a suit to be worn, I decided against it. So I don't have a suit. I think I'm dressed okay, maybe apart from my feet. I'm wearing a pair of what we call in Scotland training shoes, which you in Australia would call runners. And I want to reassure you that while on my feet, they've done neither training nor running. I know that these last 2 years have been a difficult time for many, and as Phil has already mentioned, on the horizon is perhaps more difficulties ahead in dealing with COVID here in Australia as well as worldwide. I know that through these difficult times, many of you here, many who are following online, and many who are associated with Scots Church and your families and circles of friends, many of you will have experienced severe difficulties, whether catching the infection yourself, whether family members catching it, or perhaps you've lost loved ones to COVID, or during the period of COVID, and you've been unable to spend time with them the way you would have wanted to. You've been unable to visit in hospitals or nursing homes or sometimes even in personal homes, and you've been unable to have a funeral of the kind that you would have liked to have. I realize that all of these things are going on, and it's not just in matters of life and death, but also I know people have struggled with business, with financial reasons, with mental health issues, and in all sorts of ways. Students have struggled with studies. And, of course, those who work in our medical profession have struggled with the excessive loads they've had to put up with from time to time. And through all of this and in all of this, I want to share with you just a word from a gentleman who was a relation of mine, a cousin of my grandmother, who lived in Brisbane, and he was a lay preacher in the Presbyterian Church. And Alison and I were visiting Stuart and Lily one time, this is going back many years now, in Brisbane. And Stuart had just been preaching that Sunday in the local Presbyterian church in Cannon Hill. And he shared with me that he'd been preaching from Psalm 23. And he said, "Do you know, Douglas, what the most important word in Psalm 23 is?" And of course, being a good theology student and a Calvinist, I said, "Every word in Scripture is important. How can one be more important than the others?" And he said, "Well, bear with me." He said, "The most important word in Psalm 23 is the word through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Yet I fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He said, Douglas, whether we're facing the valley of shadow of death, being the release from this life, we walk through that valley with our hand in the hand of Jesus, who's walked through it before us. But he said also, when we face hard times, even if it's not a matter of life and death, when we face difficult times, we walk through the valley of whatever shadow it is, even the shadow of death, with our hand in the hand of Jesus, who's been through that valley before us and for us and comes with us through that valley. And so it is, it's something I've thought of often through the difficulties we faced in the last 2 years with COVID. We are literally walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And for some of us, it may be the end of this natural life. And for some of us, it may be the end of a career. It may be all sorts of grief and sorrow and bereavement as we lose what we love and we treasure in our relationship with friends and our ability to come to church and so on. In the words of my distant relation, Stuart, he said, don't ever forget that whatever we walk through with Jesus. Amen, and may God bless you all.
Thank you, Douglas, for those encouraging words. What a great hymn we have to follow those sentiments. I might say before we sing, though, the biggest risk, of course, in inviting Douglas up here is it's lulled you into that beautiful Scottish accent again. And I'm afraid I won't be able to do that for you in my time here at Scots, but thanks for having me anyway. Let's stand and sing now, Christ Be Beside Me, as we remember that word of encouragement from Douglas. Please be seated, and I'd invite you now to join me in prayer. Father of all wisdom and God of grace, we recognize you as the source of all things good, the source of all things true, the giver of life and the giver of love. Father, you are the fount of all wisdom and knowledge. You designed everything that we discover. You first put in place everything that we now find. You know how life works. You know what is right and just and fair. And yet, Father, right from the very beginning, we have turned in our hearts from the truth, in our desire to decide good and evil for ourselves. And so again today, as we turn our hearts to the Lord Jesus, who came into our world full of the Spirit of wisdom, our prayer is once again for a fresh outpouring of your mercy, for you to continue your sustained work in us as your people, that by the nourishment of your word and the work of your Spirit in our inner being, that you would transform us to be more like him, that you would grow fresh wisdom in us day by day, so as to be pleasing in your sight and a blessing to all people. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Lita is still on her very well-earned holiday, and so it's my privilege to lead you in our pastoral prayer again. I don't have any particular updates from pastoral care since last Sunday. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Father, the rising number of COVID infections is alarming many of us. Lord, quiet our souls and grant us peace of mind as we seek to respond to the rapidly changing state of affairs. Father, we pray for each other. We pray for our own families, our communities, our nation, our world, Lord, your world. This pandemic has fueled social upheaval, sharp division, antagonism, and worse. Father, accusations fly and conspiracies are alleged, marriages have broken down, families have divided, friendships have suffered. And extremists gleefully add fuel to the fires of discord. Even the travel plans of an unvaccinated tennis player galvanises public opinion and motivates some to even take to the streets. Our Lord Jesus calls on us to love one another, to bless those who curse us, and if possible, to live peaceably with all. In the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, equip us and strengthen us to live up to Christ's call. Give us grace to follow in his ways and to fulfil our calling as peacemakers in his name. Father, we pray for the rulers you have placed over us. Guide them and strengthen them as they grapple with the spike in infections and the many problems flowing from that. We pray for our paramedics, our hospital staff, our testing and vaccination workers, our scientists and medical specialists, and all involved in advising our governments at this time. May we willingly and with good cheer abide by all lawful directions. May we take whatever precautions we can for our own and for others' well-being, and may we then go on boldly with our lives, knowing that whatever the future may bring, our destinies are in your hands, and believing that you do, as you have promised, work all things to our ultimate good. Father, bless us as a people of yours, and equip us in this week ahead to sacrificially serve others in the name and in the spirit of Jesus, our Redeemer and Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. The hymn 737, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?
Thank you.
Please be seated. Can I ask you, what better way to celebrate your 34th wedding anniversary than to come forward and do the Bible reading for us today? That's exactly what Nader is going to do, and congratulations to you and Mervat. Thanks for reading for us today.
Thank you, Phil. The Old Testament scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verses 1 to 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. Amen. The New Testament scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12 and verses 38 to 42. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here." Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nada. Well, this morning we're beginning a little series on the Old Testament book of Proverbs. We heard the introduction of that in the first reading, so please join me in prayer before we think a little deeper. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word to us in the scriptures. We thank you for the wisdom of Solomon and the even greater wisdom of our Lord Jesus. We pray that you would grow wisdom in us as we listen to your word today through your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's an author you may or may not have heard of. His name was Richard Carlson. And they say in his lifetime, Richard Carlson sold 40 million books. Books with snappy titles like Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, bestseller in 135 countries. Books that you will still find in the self-improvement section at Dimmock's. Books full of quotable gems like, people will soon forget what you said and did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Which I guess is kind of true. Now, to be honest, books full of pithy little statements like that are pretty much a dime a dozen. The self-help section at Dimmick's is full of them. People are hungry for wise words of timely advice, for clear words that can help chart a course through a complex life. And at first glance, if you've ever looked at it, the book of Proverbs looks like just one more collection of zippy sayings. I'm reminded at this point of Benjamin Franklin's famous Old Moore's Almanac, which was very much the same, where he says, among other things, that visitors, like fish, go off after 3 days, which after our last 2 weeks with grandkids maybe rings a little bit true, but the good news is we all survived. In the book of Proverbs, you'll find gems that are still in use today, like iron sharpens iron, or pride goes before a fall, which I never quite understood. Or go to the ant, you sluggard, and learn wisdom, which my dad used to always bring out when I didn't want to mow the lawn on a Saturday afternoon. But before we go too much further in our journey into the book of Proverbs, there are just a few things we need to think through. Often you'll find a proverb is a tool rather than a rule. And you've got to know when to use the axe and when to use the saw. Or otherwise, you might end up sounding like a fool. Or worse than that, incredibly insensitive. Because the thing about proverbs is that they don't always work. They never come with a 100% guarantee, because that's not the way wisdom functions, nor life itself. Sometimes in life, things go better than they should against all the odds, against what a proverb might say. Sometimes the reverse. So let me give you a little example. Proverbs 26, verse 27. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. Now look, I guess the wisdom of that lies in metaphor. You can ask Novak Djokovic, maybe, whether in the last few weeks he dug himself a bit of a hole when it came to his plans to play in Australia. Although plenty of times, metaphorically and otherwise, people do dig themselves into holes or roll big rocks, and it works out just fine, in spite of the proverb. Sometimes on face value, a proverb seems to offer a guarantee, like Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. And yet, in your own life experience, sadly, it's far different, perhaps. And so you may have raised your kids and poured your life into them, and who knows? Now he's estranged from you. Now she's struggling with a drug habit. Or he got in with the wrong crowd as a teenager, and now he's doing time in jail. And so you're thinking, Proverbs says it's all my fault. Or worse than that, self-righteous friends who'll wag their fingers behind your back and say, well, they should have paid more attention to Proverbs 22, verse 6, when he was younger. But the fact is, as a book, Proverbs acknowledges exactly that. Especially, we'll see in the opening chapters, that life is complex. And young men especially are urged to make wise choices of their own. So here's the thing. If you have used any sort of proverb in your life, from the Bible or otherwise, you'll kind of already know. The trick is to actually know when to use it and when not to. Most proverbs are just observations, handy generalizations, and the wisdom comes in knowing when to apply which proverb. When to pull out haste makes waste, and so slow down. Or when to say he who hesitates is lost, and jump in. Because you see, proverbs on their own don't make you wise. You could teach proverbs to a parrot, which means we always need to remember the lesson of Proverbs 26, verse 9, that says, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Real wisdom lies in more than just a few snappy sayings. Real wisdom runs deeper. Real wisdom, Proverbs tells us, and we'll focus on this next week, real wisdom comes fundamentally from fearing the Lord, the God of Israel. And this book, which we're told in chapter 1, verse 1, is a collection from the hand of Solomon, the king of Israel, isn't just a bunch of handy sayings about how to succeed in life as an ancient Israelite, but more importantly, what it's going to look like to fear the Lord, to value what he values, to love what he loves, to hate what he hates. Look at verses 2 to 4 again, and you'll see that's exactly what the book of Proverbs is all about. Here's a book, verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, which isn't just about doing what works in the short term. It's about doing what's fundamentally right, which is ultimately, you see, the difference between the book of Proverbs and the sort of self-help books like Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Because for Richard Carlson, who died a few years ago, his obituary said that his ultimate goal in life was the pursuit of personal happiness. Which, of course, depending on what makes you personally happy, doesn't necessarily involve doing what's right and just and fair at all. Proverbs is not about just doing what works at the expense of other people or about climbing over other people to get ahead in your career. Proverbs is about living a life that is wise because it's gracious and upright and full of integrity. So if you just keep reading into verse 3, here is a book for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. Here's a book for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So you see, even if you're a simple person, even if you're young, the good news is you don't have to learn from your own mistakes. You can learn to be prudent instead. Not only that, you can learn to do what's right, to do what's just, to do what in the final analysis is true and fair, which Solomon, the king of Israel, wants his people to know is fundamental to Israel's purpose as the chosen people of God in the first place. There's a passage in Genesis, it's profoundly important, I think, where God spells out exactly why he was choosing for himself a people, exactly why he's choosing Abraham to be the start of a long line of blessing when the rest of the world has gone so wrong. It's Genesis 18, verse 19. "For I have chosen him," says God, and he's speaking about Abraham, "so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he promised him." Now, friends, in the end, that is what real wisdom is going to look like. Not the dishonest shortcuts, not the fast track to financial freedom, not the feel-good office romance and cheating on your husband or wife. Those things aren't just wrong, according to Proverbs. They make a fool of you as well. So here's a book that's going to help us do what's right and just and fair, which again means the wisdom of Proverbs is Israel's wisdom for the most mundane situations of life. It's not law like some of the other Old Testament books. It's just straight out street smart wisdom. How you run your farm, how you use your mouth, how you calibrate the scales in your fruit shop, even how you care for your horse. Proverbs 12 verse 10, if you want to be righteous, take a look. "A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel." And we know that, don't we, even these days? The first sign of a psychopath, they say, is how they treat their animals. "These are sayings of the wise," verse 6, "collected, collated for the very purpose of guiding our steps to wisdom." The kind of wisdom that in the book of Proverbs is described as woven into the very fabric of the universe. The kind of wisdom that's personified in Proverbs as a woman who delights in God's every creative action from the beginning and now gives her advice liberally to anyone who'll listen. A wisdom that's more than just knowing a bunch of facts, but knowing how a life rightly lived works. As you've probably observed from experience, a person can have a PhD in nuclear physics and yet virtually no skills for living life. One of the smartest guys I ever met could never remember the name of the suburb he lived in, which always made getting home on the train quite challenging for him. In biblical terms, wisdom is practical knowledge in tune with creation, knowing the right way to react in specific situations. Wisdom is being skilled in the art of living. Wisdom knows what to do next in the face of a confusing array of choices, knowing how to integrate what you know into an effective life strategy. It's not so much a guarantee for any particular outcome, but in knowing how to negotiate the way things are. Remember verse 2? "For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight," which will then help to develop prudence in verse 4, which is that old idea of being wise enough to look before you leap. Didn't make it into the book of Proverbs, but there's that old carpenter's saying, "Measure twice, cut once." That's prudence, which of course wise parents tell their children applies to choosing marriage partners as well as soaring skirting boards, foreseeing possible consequences, mastering impulse control. That's wisdom. And it's a great package. This is a book that comes full of the kind of wisdom that's all about being in tune with the one who designed the system. Wisdom for Israel on not just how to survive in the promised land, but to thrive in it as the people of God by living in a way that was right and just and fair. Which tragically, as you read Israel's story unfolding in the Old Testament, is exactly the kind of wisdom they ignored. And so Proverbs, we'll find, is full of warnings as well. Warnings for mockers, warnings for wayward men with an eye for harlots. Warnings for wayward Israel with eyes for idols. And Lady Wisdom, as we'll see, is unsympathetic to fools. And so she says at the end of chapter 1, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Which interestingly is exactly what the prophet Hosea says about the nation of Israel as well. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. As ultimately, historically, reaping that whirlwind is exactly what happens as Israel is crushed and sent into exile under God's judgment. Although, of course, God hasn't finished with his goal of blessing the world with a new people who love what's right and just. Gather around a new king in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And look, if you think the wisdom of Solomon is good as we read through the Proverbs, I want you to keep looking forward to the greater wisdom of Jesus. Solomon, king of Israel, was famous around the world. Son of the great King David. Famously, when God says to Solomon, ask me for anything you want, Solomon says, I want wisdom. And God grants it. 1 Kings chapter 4 says, God gave Solomon a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. That Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. And he described plant life and taught about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. The Queen of Sheba in the south came and sat at his feet, listening in awe. This is a very smart guy. And yet, you know, ultimately, as the story plays out, a failure like Israel. In that, like so many men of genius, he's brought undone by a fatal flaw. Ironically, given his warnings in the book about sex and idolatry, they are the exact things that bring him down. And at best, Solomon can only say, do as I say, but don't do as I do. Ultimately, of course, how much better to have an anointed one from God who's not a letdown at all. We find that in King Jesus. A king worth turning to if you want to know how to live a life that is right and just and fair all the way through. And he won't just tell you with his words, he will show you. With his life lived. Matthew chapter 12, we heard it read earlier, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're provoking Jesus for a sign. Show us a trick, they say. verse 41, Jesus condemns them for their lack of insight. He says, past generations will rise up and condemn you. The people who used to stream from all over the world to listen to Solomon, how much more they'd have given to listen to Jesus. Here's what he says. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. See, friends, if you're asking this morning how on earth you're going to negotiate your way through the complexities of this life, where do you start? If your life is a mess because of decisions you've made in the past that you know weren't really wise at all, where do you start in putting things back together? The book of Proverbs is going to help with some practical tips for the people of God. But most important is this. Learn what it means to live under the rule of God's King and learn the wisdom that flows from Him. Because no matter how good Solomon's wisdom is, Jesus is better. Who again is going to speak with a challenging voice about what's really valuable, about where you should put life's price tags, who says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and trust me, and everything else will fall into place. Not necessarily in a life lived smoothly, but certainly in a life lived well, with an anchor that holds fast, no matter the circumstances. Because ultimately, He is the one full of the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And ultimately, by that Spirit at work in us, teaches us to recognize what's wise and just and right. So no matter how old you are or how young you are or how book smart you are or how slow, we're going to find a wisdom that's never out of reach. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that one greater than Solomon, our Lord Jesus, who not only spoke wisely but lived wisely in every way. We thank you for your mercy expressed in him, the forgiveness that assures us of a firm footing with you, and your Spirit that works through your word in our hearts to create true wisdom in our lives. We pray over these coming weeks that you would continue to speak to us through your word, that we indeed might grow in wisdom and grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together this morning and say the words of the Apostles' Creed together. You'll find the words on your order of service. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing together the final hymn, Ye Servants of God. Thank you. And now may the Lord God fill you with understanding of all that is right and just and fair. May he guide you in every good work. May his wisdom abide in your heart and his knowledge be pleasant to your soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.